Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back, everybody, to Caravan of Garbage, where the Incredible Hulk video, etc. Now, Mason, producer Gail Ann Hurd called this film a requel. And you might be like, what's a requel?
I get it, conceptually.
You might be like, what's a requel?
James, what's a requel?
So it's a bit like a reboot, and it's a bit like a sequel.
Okay.
Because obviously there are elements of this movie which follow on directly from Eric Banner Hulk 2003.
That's very true.
He's in the jungle.
Mm.
He's the Hulk.
Yes.
They cast
Angy.
He's not Ang Lee.
No.
He's angry.
He's Angy.
Yes, that's right.
Oh my God, I never made the connection to... Is Ang Lee a stage name? My goodness. Is this a... Was the last one an Alan Smithy picture?
No, that was an auteur piece.
It was an auteur piece. But let me tell you this.
Leave a like.
Leave a like. And also requel. Okay, great concept. But I think the fact we've never heard the term requel ever again is because then you have to just say... The time it takes to save saying it's a reboot and a sequel is wasted because then you later have to tell people.
Yeah, because most people don't get it like the way you didn't get it.
Yeah,
yeah, I had to absolutely. Ask. That's right. Now, I feel like this movie was made from the perspective of you vaguely remember the last one. It's like how the Transformers movies, even though they are direct sequels, I guess, you don't really need to remember them strictly. Mm. We covered them. We went insane, but we got through them all, didn't we?
Eventually, yeah.
There's that sense.
Unless there's one just... off in the distance there, just hiding around a dark corner. Well, we haven't got to it yet. I have nightmares about that, James.
Bumblebee.
I wake up and I'm like, oh, we forgot one. We forgot one of the sequels. Oh, no, and I have to do it.
Yeah. But also I think this movie's interesting for a couple of reasons. One of them is it's one of the only Phase 1 movies other than Iron Man 2, I guess, where it's not an origin because it gives you – kind of the cliff notes at the start. It's like, yeah, you remember the series from the 70s.
You remember it. And also, we're still not committing to the gamma bomb bit. In this case, he's volunteering to have radiation shot directly into his brain, I think. Hence the target over his eye. And he's like, yeah, she'll be right, mate.
Yeah, she'll be right, mate. Yeah.
She'll be right, Betty. Oh, no. It also, the opening montage also, I think, paints a tragic picture of Thunderbolt Ross taking up smoking. Because he's not at the start, but then he's like, he's puffing on cigars all of a sudden. Then he's smoking a pipe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then he's smoking weed out of an apple. It's really, this whole Hulk situation's really set him on edge.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't you think that's interesting, though, that they assumed at this point that you knew the Hulk enough and you don't need to know any of that?
I mean, I think he's enough of a pop culture mainstay. I think most people, if you said the Hulk, people would know.
Yeah,
even
fair enough.
Even back in the dark days of 2008, I think people would still know. But you're right. This does have an element of like, well, he's not in the big city. He's actually over in a bloody some sort of bloody tropical republic.
He's in Brazil.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's having a good time over there. I feel like this is like. The reaction...
He's fully assimilated. He's calling it football.
Oh, is he?
Instead of soccer, yeah.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's taken a little bit of the accent. It's like, you've been there 3 weeks, man. What are you doing?
I feel like, though, this is the way that, you know, Man of Steel was a reaction to Superman Returns. This is a reaction to kind of the perceived lack of action in the last movie. Because this was supposed to be more of a cerebral piece, and we will get into that. But I there's a number of things that I do like about this movie that's all right, I guess.
All right.
Yeah. I like that he's using...
Loving that enthusiasm. All right, let's get into it.
Well, I like that he's using, you know, interesting techniques to stay controlled. He's watching Sesame Street in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's paying a Brazilian man to just slap him in the face.
What's are we ever going to see the MCU focus on that guy, Diaphragm Man.
Apparently,
because he's got incredible. He's got.
He does have incredible diaphragm. Yeah. Apparently, he's like a Brazilian jiu-jitsu master guy or whatever. If you know anything about Joe Rogan, Mason, and I know you do, that's where you'd find out information about
that. The Joe Rogan experience is a requel to news radio. I know that much.
I can't believe also that Edward Norton poisoned the Watcher informant or whatever. Stanley, remember?
And if we're assuming that fan theory is true, that Stanley is...
Well, he's in the movie. I don't know if it is a fan theory, is it? I mean, he was in space and he was like, and then I was...
No, but I'm saying the fan theory that he's always playing the same guy.
Well, apparently so. And the other thing is, though, it's never been confirmed what he is because he's seemingly ageless.
Mm.
Like, he's in World War II. He's in other eras, presumably. And I don't know. I mean, he's dead now.
I think it's maybe just a... constant stream of just weird radiation and blood and such that he's constantly consuming in tiny little side scenes.
Like he licks Thor's hammer and gets some electricity.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, this will last me another week, I guess. Now to find another weird thing to drink or inject. Oh, Mexican soda. Yes, please.
Yeah, you might be right. So the director of this, Louis Leterrier, he originally actually wanted Mark Ruffalo, funnily enough.
Oh,
the studio said, hang on a minute.
Dreams can come true.
That's true. The studio was
Do you think he's watching 2012 The Avengers and he's like, yes, yes, Leterrier wins again. Leterrier numero uno.
He might just be. The studio, though, which I guess makes sense, wanted Norton because he was probably a bigger name at the time. And he was...
And they could do the Norton 360 tie-in.
That's true, they absolutely could.
Ed Norton 360. Now, I've written here Ed Norton 360 lol, and I think that comes across.
Yeah, definitely. So... Now, Edward Norton has this kind of history, or not so much a history, it's happened every now and then, where he'll heavily involve himself in a project to the extent where he'll have a lot of creative decisions, where maybe even he'll push out a director or another creative force. It happened on American History X.
He'll burn a few bridges, perhaps.
Yeah, which also, you want to make a good thing.
You want to make a good thing, but if you've signed on the dotted line that you're going to be an actor, you're not going to be in the editing bay.
Oh, well, he wasn't, because initially... He
refused to sign anything. He's just like, maybe I'll show up some days for shooting. Maybe some days I won't. Maybe some days I'll do catering. And I get two sandwiches and everybody else only gets one.
That's rude. But he was heavily involved with the writing and the crafting of this story. And he was a big fan of the series. And he wanted a kind of more cerebral movie and also to make it more of a sequel to the 2003 movie.
Interesting.
Marvel, though, they wanted this cut down, leaner version of this franchise, much like the Hulk himself, Mason, which we will talk about. And as a result of that, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a minor dispute which happened, which got leaked maybe through an intern or somebody was, I don't know, outside on cleaning windows and was like, interesting, they're having a bit of a bust-up in
maybe here. It was Lou Ferrigno.
Maybe it was, yeah. So
I'll be back in my prime any second now. They're going to cast me again.
So as a result of this being leaked to the press... that kind of led to Norton stepping away. Oh. So Louis Leterrier, who is numero uno,
he's numero uno.
He actually came out and said, look, we were working through it. Like, it was going well and we were trying to craft a version that we're all happy with. But when it got out there, the whole thing kind of fell apart internally.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You can't practice any diplomacy if the bloody paparazzi and the tabloids are out there being like, Norton's burning this whole thing down.
Exactly, yeah.
Leterrier's number two. He's big number two.
Oh, no.
Norton thinks he's big number two.
So apparently, though, as a result of Norton's involvement and then lack of, and to be fair, like, he did all the press and whatever, and he still speaks pretty fondly of all of this. There's 70 minutes of extra footage in this.
70?
You would have seen some of this footage. There's a moment at the start which they cut out because it was too dark, where he tries to shoot himself in the ice. And apparently also you can see Captain America frozen there or whatever. People say it is. I'm skeptical. Ben and Lauren, zoom in on that. Is that anything?
Do you think it might be Phil Hartman's unfrozen caveman lawyer?
Oh, very good, Mason.
From news radio.
I mean, he was dead at this point.
Right.
Great joke. Somber, though. Somber, obviously.
Too dark. Obviously why it was too dark.
R.O.P. So, yeah, they took out that suicide moment.
But, of course, it is referenced in 2012's The Avengers.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Now, there's a number of things from this also that are more recently especially getting a lot of play, and maybe we'll come around to that. But I wanted to ask you, first of all, what did you think about the joke where Betty Ross is like, why don't you put on these big purple pants?
I've written purple pants, lol, and I think that once again, that says
put on
all.
The pants!
You're right?
He should put on the pants.
Again,
somebody should have stepped in from the crowd and been like, put on those pants! It should have been me.
When I'm sure, you know, eventually we're going to cover
it's in the comics, Mason!
Eventually we're going to cover every Marvel movie that's ever existed, if we can keep up the pace, which is unlikely. But we're going to find the point at which the tipping point where they go, just do everything that's in the comics. Yeah. It's fine.
Shut up.
It'll be when Feige acquires a certain amount of power. Once he's acquired all his own Infinity Stones, he can just be like, just do it like the comics.
Yeah.
Do it like the comics. I've made you $10 trillion. Just do it like the comics.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Speaking of doing it like the comics, Mason, they wanted Lena. They wanted Mina. They wanted this very specific look for the Hulk where he's like 0% body fat. He's more of a grayish green.
Yeah, so in the previous movie, you know, I think we probably said he's too big and he's too cartoonishly green.
Yeah.
And maybe they went too far the other way with this one.
Yeah.
Because he's again, I mean, you know, the Hulk has been gray.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I think one of the things that doesn't work for me, though, is because he's kind of so wild and savage, the moments where he's kind of not doing that. You don't get much emotion or anything from him.
Right.
But I also feel like this is also early days Hulk, or he's going through a certain kind of wild, savage phase.
He'll get over it.
Well, he does get over it. He's doing big smiles the next time we see him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I don't know whether that look works for me, but I do like kind of...
He looks very dehydrated.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah. They both do.
Yeah, you're right. But he does... Like I like his kind of werewolf transformation. You see it, especially when he's zip tied to that chair or whatever.
And of course, he does get the thing that I like, where he's being accosted by local goons, and he's like, "Don't, I'll be the Hulk.
I'll kill you."
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But again, a little bit of a, and we mentioned this in the previous video as well. He doesn't look a lot like Ed Norton, does he?
No, exactly.
He doesn't even have a matching haircut.
That's the other thing, yeah.
He's got like a Beatles mop top,
this
Hulk.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that was the look that he had when he first changed, and so it always grows back to that. We saw that. That's not true, is it? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that is. Yeah, I mean, he's a different colour. So, you know, there's certain things, certain liberties they can take.
That sure is, yes.
General Ross, when he changes into the Red Hulk, he sometimes doesn't have a mustache.
Yeah, right.
Or initially, at least. Mm. Yeah.
Or he's putting a fake mustache back on when he goes back to General Ross.
God, it's a lot to think about, isn't it?
He's going to have to go to one of those special Marvel tailors that makes superhero costumes and be like, can you make me a mustache, please?
Yeah.
And a merkin? Unrelated?
Would he store the mustache up his nose?
Maybe.
Because otherwise he'd lose it in the transformation,
right? I mean, we've learned that that's a weird thing that Hulks have to do, because in this movie, Banner swallows a USB stick.
Yep.
And I've written here, I'm amazed that swallowing it wasn't enough to turn him into the Hulk all on its own, quite frankly. That's the weirdest body horror moment, I think, in this movie for me, where he's just like, got to get this USB dongle down. Did micro SD cards not exist at the time?
Not in 2008. You're saying he should have shelved it, though, right?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying. But I mean...
Now, we can't show that.
It speaks to a certain... perhaps a lack of imagination in certain directions of the Marvel Universe, where they're like, well, we can have a frozen super soldier and we can have a man who turns green, but we cannot possibly imagine a USB stick that is smaller than the currently existing USB stick.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'd like to think, like, if he was infiltrating something and he had to get there as the Hulk, like he'd swallow like a full tuxedo.
And then bring it up and change back.
Yeah. You know, and he walks into a party with a tuxedo covered in slime and vomit.
Okay, but what if he changes back first and then later, you know, the goons bust into the bathroom or whatever and there's just a corpse with a tuxedo sticking out of it?
Both ends. I'm okay.
This guy had Giorgio Armani entrails. It's very disturbing.
What's all that about? The Abomination, though, I think I like this look more, even though it is wildly different from the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because he's not a lizard man with his pointy ears. The reason they went for that is, though, he's got no lizard DNA in him, apparently. But also, you could just add that. That's fine.
Hey, we couldn't stabilize the formula. We needed to add lizard DNA.
Yeah, exactly. They did it all the time. They're always doing that, aren't they?
Yeah, right.
And also, so he doesn't get the
ears. Like in Jurassic Park, there's some frog stuff in there as well.
Yeah. You guys have seen it.
Yeah.
But like the newer version we've seen of him, he has those pointed ears.
Yes.
And they didn't give him that in this because they figured like the Hulk would just bite or rip them off.
Ah.
So, which I also understand that choice, but I like how he's this kind
was
of...
Was that...
That's a Mike Tyson reference. Yes.
Biting era? Was that
yes.
A,
it was. Not era. I mean, it had happened at that point.
Sure
yes.
Has, yes. Yeah.
But I also like that he's this kind of slapdash mix of the super soldier program and just shoot radiation at him, inject stuff into his bones. And as a result of that kind of... his internal kind of bone structure becomes kind of more protruded and external.
Yeah.
So it's kind of more an offensive weapon. So I don't mind the look in general for that. It is a bit strange later when they're fighting in the city and the guy's like, which one should I shoot at? And General Ross is like, the green one, you come on.
And you'd be like, 50-50. I'll take a shot at one of them. It's probably fine. They're both sort of greenish, yeah. I guess.
Also watching this though and seeing, because I hadn't seen it in a while, seeing the Abomination just go, I'm going to kill as many people as I can. It's amazing that he got off in She-Hulk and his defense of like, I thought I was being the good guy or whatever. He went on a murder spree.
I mean, here's the thing though, James. Emil Blonsky was right.
Which
no.
part?
No, I the mean, murders? No, not the murders, but I think up until the point there, like I think if you... watching from the start, I'm like, yeah, if you looked at this movie from the perspective of Blonsky from the start...
yeah.
He is being pursued by a ramp.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which... is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Agent Green Monster for a lot of it, and he is a military guy, and they've brought him in to stop.
Yeah, that's
true.
As
far as he knows, and in like a unstoppable rampaging murder machine. And then it's only after he has been super soldiered that he does go insane.
Well, that is true. But I will say this, though.
I'm saying it's a grey area.
Yeah, well...
green area.
Very good. They often... Or a greyish-green area.
Speaking of his greyish-green areas, where do his genitals go?
Where do they go?
Yes.
Internal.
Okay. Yeah. Like an armadillo.
Yeah, like an armadillo, okay, if that's a thing that they do.
I don't know. I'm just saying he's got a weird action man-style crotch.
Yeah.
You think like a shell drops down?
Yeah, like
down
a shell drops down.
Okay, great. That's terrific.
But, yeah, that's also, I guess, a thing in Marvel movies and a lot of movies where they want to... make you root for the good guy as opposed to the bad guy. The bad guy just has to start indiscriminately killing people if they have a good point.
Mm.
So that kind of falls in line there, doesn't it? Gotta say this though, I like a lot of the action scenes in this, like the bust up they have in the field. You know, he's running about and they're using sonic cannons and so on and so forth. He uses the big Hulk car fists.
He sure does, yes.
From the video game and probably comics. He does a big Hulk clap.
It sure does. Fine time to test that as well when your girlfriend's about to burn to death in a helicopter.
Yeah.
I'll try clapping. That's a good trick. Why would that work?
It did.
It did. All right, it's true. You're right.
Well, I'm not right. I mean, he's right for choosing that. True. He says Hulk smash. That's good. And you know, it's like he breaks off one of his bones and like stabs him with it and whatever.
Personally, I think they should have settled their differences on stage at Amateur Night at the Apollo. It was happening at the time. If you look at any of those.
I didn't see that at all.
Okay, well.
Oh, that's exciting. Who was on, do you reckon, 2008?
Richard Pryor.
Okay.
No, I don't know. Cook. The answer's Dane Cook. Anyway, I think they should have had a roast battle on stage.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I guess I have to ask you this because people are going to ask. Mm-hmm. It's minigun minute time, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to do a minigun noise. Minigun, 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 minigun. How's that?
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's the sound of a minigun. Anyway, great. Mason's famous segment where he looks at a minigun in a movie and goes, is this too CGI or whatever? I don't like this.
Yeah, he
kind of was impressed a bit by the one on the side of the horse in Jonah Hex, I think.
I wasn't. Remember. It wasn't even a minigun and it doesn't count.
You liked the one in Green Lantern?
Disagree.
What miniguns do you like? Is it only the Predator?
Find out as we play Meso's Minigun Minute.
So in
this one, of course, it's mounted on a helicopter, which is appropriate because you have room for the power supply and all the ammunition and all that sort of stuff. And it is a real minigun, the M134. Obviously, it's got the classic six barrels. They haven't tried to sci-fi it up. They haven't mounted it on a man. They haven't done any of these, or a horse, or any of these things.
Okay. It's not a green hologram.
No, it's not a green hologram. I mean, the firing action seems accurate. It looks pretty spectacular. It's got the tracer rounds.
Yep.
But the guy's not a very good shot, so 0 out of 10.
Wow. So it's also ability with the minigun.
This time it is, sure.
Great. I said we'd circle back to this, but it does touch on a lot of things which are now coming back. The Abomination obviously made a reappearance in Shang-Chi and is now making more appearances. Mm. Martin Starr appears in this.
That's true.
And he's apparently the same character from the Spider-Man movies. I think Kevin Feige was asked like in an interview on the red carpet and just went, definitely.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
I think so.
It has also been suggested, I think, perhaps in between those two interviews that he might have been Amadeus Cho, who, of course, in the comic books becomes another Hulk.
Oh, okay.
But, of course, it's off the table now.
Yeah.
Unless they want him to.
There's a moment in She-Hulk where he's like, I was literally Edward Norton. I was a different person. I was Edward Norton or whatever. There's that.
Yeah.
And, of course, Tim Blake Nelson is returning as the leader.
Yeah.
It's kind of baffling to me that it's taken this long to bring the leader back, but I think there is a reason for it, and we'll talk about it. But we can't talk about it now, Mason.
Uh-oh.
Because you've got maybe a more note, or I do a green trivia.
I have something that may be appropriate for green trivia, so
let's
chuck it in there, I think. Look, I do have a note that says the long-standing tradition of superhuman pizza delivery.
Oh, yes.
And Lou Ferrigno's character is definitely getting fired. We're just letting that guy in.
Yeah, who cares, though, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Who cares, right? Wasn't he security guard in the last one?
Yes.
Wow, this is a sequel. Probably. No, sorry. It's a requel.
It's a requel, yes.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, you mentioned him, but also Bill Bixby, despite having passed away at this point, he's seen on television at one point in a clip from something called The Courtship of Eddie's Father.
Oh!
Which he appeared in from 1969.
Well, speaking of cameos from actors who are no longer with us, there's also an appearance from Michael K. Williams, who, of course, played Omar in The Wire.
Yes! This is interesting, isn't
it? Wikipedia says, Michael K. Williams appears as a Harlem bystander, a role that was written for him by Norton, who is a fan of The Wire.
Correct.
And his role includes him looking at the action and going, whoa.
Too much.
This is hectic.
Extra.
Yeah, this is too extra.
Yeah. I've got a quote here, actually, from the late, great Michael K. Williams, who, this was the scene that was cut.
It's not just that bit. Okay, right.
Yeah, no.
This makes more sense then.
Totally. It's also like, 2008, ridiculous. Mm. You know? I come out of the building, I scream, and then I'm running with everybody else, and then all of a sudden I get stuck between the Hulk and the Abomination, and I'm like, holy shit, what am I going to do? Everybody calm down. Stop messing up my streets. Why don't you go to, like, Connecticut and fight over there? Why are you in Harlem? And then finally the Abomination is getting really mad, and I'm like, you know what, Hulk? I don't like him. Go kick his ass.
Nice.
Yeah, good stuff. That sounds not very good, though. And kind of beneath Michael K. Williams, if I'm... if I'm honest. Speaking of cameos, Mason, there's an actor in this called Nick Alaciotis.
Oh, yes.
Who plays one of the Brazilian thugs.
Oh, yes.
Who rough up an Edward Norton. Mm. Now, he's also the guy who gets kicked in the nuts by Wolverine in X-Men 2. He's the guy who's like, come on.
Come on.
His arms are getting cut off.
Yeah.
He's a stuntman actor or whatever.
There you go.
I recognized him and I went, that's the come on guy from X-Men 3. That's what I said, Mason. Do you want some other names?
Do you think he's on Cameo? Probably. You got a cameo from him?
Yeah, definitely.
A cameo. Track him down to cameo.com. We're going to have to buy that now.
Sorry, I just need to know this.
I know, we got to know.
Okay, I'm on cameo.com. Oh, I could get one from Tony Hawk. I get one from Alan Fletcher from Neighbours.
Whoa.
I could get one from Ben Cousins, famous Australian footballer and drug addict.
Oh.
No, he's not here, unfortunately. Meanwhile, he's on his own side, isn't he?
I bet he is, yeah.
Come on, Neo.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some other names which were considered. Now, Eric Banner.
For Hulk. Okay, right.
Yeah, Eric Banner was never asked to come back, right?
Damn.
Yeah, I think also he was like, it's a one and done for me anyway. I never assumed this was going to go for 40 years.
Yeah, this was, Hulk 2003 was pre everybody being locked in for 10 movies, I think.
Exactly, yeah. So other names include Dominic Purcell, Prison Break, anybody?
Oh, yes.
Dave,
he, of course, later got a CW superhero role.
Oh, yeah, he did.
As either Captain Cold or Heatwave.
Yeah.
Whichever one of the Prison Break guys I'm thinking of. Who's the Australian one?
Heatwave?
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Also, he's Vampire Man in Blade
3.
That's
who we're thinking of. Yeah, he was Heatwave. Yeah. All right, yes. He was Drake or something.
Yes, because they couldn't say Dracula probably. Who knows? Yeah. David Duchovny. Jeff Goldblum. Matthew McConaughey. Liev Schreiber.
Whoa.
And this is interesting. I've written here, and Blue Harvest. But actually, they couldn't get Blue Harvest in the end because Blue Harvest is not actually an actor.
Go on.
It's the working title for the original Star Wars from 1977.
The original title for this movie, though, was, of course, The Credible Hulk. Just does things that are extremely credible.
Like, can you give me an example?
Do
you mean credible as, like, the character or just credible as a normal man?
I didn't think you'd have any follow-up questions, honest. I just thought of that, and I don't know.
I just think if you've got to come in with a joke, you got to be ready. You got to have like a whole backstory.
I never said it was a joke. This is true. In fact, the more that I think about the word credible, the less I'm sure of what it means.
So General Ross is drinking an Incredible Hulk cocktail at the bar. You might have noticed it's green, right? Which I thought was very odd. It was made using equal parts Hennessy, cognac, and hypnotic liqueur, but not spelt the way that...
Wait, this was a real drink on set?
Apparently. I don't know. Who cares? Well, speaking of, Mason, let's talk about that, because there's a post-credits in this.
Mm-hmm.
And by post-credits, this is from IMDb. It says...
It's more a mid-credits, isn't it?
No. It says this is from IMDb. This is the only Marvel film in which the post-credits scene is actually the last scene before the credits roll. Yeah, that's a scene in the movie. That's not a post-credits.
Yeah.
I guess also Endgame doesn't have a post-credits, sort of. There's like a noise of a clanking and a clonking. So the dog's barking. I'm just going to close the door, Mason.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, so the first time I watched this, he's talking about putting a team together. Tony Stark is putting a team together.
Yes.
And then, of course, by the time Iron Man 2 rolls around, he's rejected from the Avengers. And I'm like, what's all this? Does this make sense anymore? Where is this in the timeline? But we did some research for once.
That's true, we did.
And explain this, Mason.
Well, I mean, Kevin Feige obviously anticipated our questions in 2022. And so instead, and so to counteract those, he created a Marvel one-shot, a thing we don't get anymore, called The Consultant, in which the World Security Council, remember those evildoers? Remember those guys? And they were like, have a blow up New York. How about that? That'd be pretty good, right? Anyway, they want to release immunity.
They're all dead, those guys.
Yeah, they're all dead.
They've all disappeared.
Yeah. So they want Emil Blonsky released and put on the Avengers, and S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Phil Coulson obviously can't disobey their orders, but he can cause the whole situation to fall apart. So he and Nick Fury conspire to get Tony Stark to...
Famous buffoon.
Famous buffoon to attempt these negotiations. And of course, the volatile combination of Thunderbolt Ross and the ego of Tony Stark clash.
And the alcohol.
And probably all the drinks they've had on the way to the building and in the bar and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Caused the whole thing to fall apart, and Emil Blonsky remains in prison
For a time.
For a time.
Absolutely.
But now he's back. He's out on the streets again.
Back big time.
But I think ultimately that's probably was good for him.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Mason, the box office for this, the budget was $150 million-ish. Mm-hmm. Of course, this was the second movie in the MCU, first one being Iron Man. It obviously didn't do as well because at the box office it only made $264.8 million, which is the lowest MCU film. Like if a movie came out now and that made that, people would, I don't know what would happen. I think the internet would collapse in on itself,
right?
Quite frankly,
yeah.
But of course, there hasn't been a Hulk movie.
There'd be so many tweets that just said mid
CU. They'd say
that's right.
Yeah, but of course, there's a reason why we haven't got a standalone Hulk movie since. And I've talked about this in another video where I talk about evolution of the character and so how they did it and everything and whatever.
Mind that.
I don't know, Mason. Did Matt put a picture of you in? Is it even out yet? I don't know. I'll link it below if it is. But Universal own some of the distribution rights to this character.
Interesting.
And so that's why Marvel are like, well, if we're not going to work collaborative, well, if we're not going to work together on this,
mm-hmm.
See, I worked around that then, didn't I? Then we'll just wait out this deal, which apparently expires like next year, maybe.
Okay, all right.
So, then they can do it again. That's why the Hulk's appeared in a bunch of movies but hasn't had his own movies since this. Yeah. Mm. And that's all she wrote. Mason, what'd you think of this?
I liked it.
Is it better than 2003?
Or the year 2003?
Yeah.
As a whole?
I mean, X-Men 2 came out in 2003. Daredevil came out in 2003.
Mm, and think of those fashions. It's weird to say it about two Hulk movies, but they do, having watched them so closely together, they do kind of feel like apples and oranges. Like the first one seem like more of a Raimi Spider-Man style, very cartoony comic book movie, whereas whereas 2008 feels more like
MCU-ish.
MCU-ish. Again, they didn't quite know what they were doing yet.
Mid-CU-ish.
Yeah, that's right. Mid-CU. I don't know. I like Tim Roth in this. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
Again,
I like his CGI muscles when he's just a man. They're
right?
putting on him.
Yeah. Well, do you think we're ever going to see Betty Ross again?
I would like to. She's been mentioned.
Yeah. But maybe like a horrific CGI combination of Liv Tyler and that lady whose name I can't remember.
Jennifer Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly. Thank
that
you.
That wouldn't. They just look the same.
I know, right?
She's Red Hulk. She Red Hulk in the comics, actually.
Mm.
So yeah, who knows? Maybe. Anyway, Mason, this has been Caravan of Garbage. Now, I know you like to see these early, don't you?
Yes.
You like to know whether you've said a dumb thing. Or if you want to add a dumb thing.
Maybe I could add a dumb thing.
Well, you can.
Maybe I could provide an example of how credible the Credible Hulk would be.
If it was a joke, which it wasn't.
It wasn't a joke, though, so I don't need to.
But you can actually head over to bigsandwich.co if you do want to sign up.
I'm a scientist and there's a degree on my wall. You can see it there. And they'd be like, that is very credible. It's got a little hollow foil thing in it.
Oh, wow, it's one of those.
Can't just photocopy that, can you?
No.
You know? Very credible. I knew I'd come up with an example.
But it wasn't a joke.
Wasn't a joke, but were it a joke.
Yeah.
That would be a perfect example.
So, yeah, if you do want to see these early, head over to bigsandwich.co where there's also bonus podcasts, movie commentaries, a bunch of stuff, and we have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. Comes out every Monday. Here's a hint towards next week. What is it? No idea. Can't remember.
Terrific.
Is there another G.I. Joe movie we need to do? I don't think there is.
Have we? No, we did both G.I. Joe. There's Snake Eyes. Oh, no! It's that dream I have. It's lurking, always lurking, that movie.
Anyways, thanks for watching this. Thank you to Ben and Lawrence for the edit. And
thanks, we'll guys.
See you on the next video. We're back all the time. We'll never stop.
Grab that Jimmy, guys. Us. We'll see you. What?
Try and kill us, I said.
I don't want that at all.
Yeah, just try to kill Mason.
No attempts on my life, please.
Yeah, if you need...
That's my new catchphrase. No attempts... That's my new sign-off. No attempts on my life, please.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
If you want to get me, you got to go through Mason. Everybody needs to know
disagree.
That.
I will take a... I will do a handy sidestep.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well... HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.